Welcome to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place for you to come hear testimonies of other moms who are believing for supernatural childbirth, have already had a supernatural childbirth. This is just the place for you to come be refreshed, hear testimonies, and have community. Moms, we have a Facebook group now. You can search for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas in groups on Facebook. Come join us. We want to have community. We want for you to have a place to not feel alone and have other like-minded mamas. We are having meetups once a month, and my goal and my heart is to build a community around this topic, but mostly around our relationship with the Lord and walking out this faith walk of being a mom and having a supernatural life as a child of God and as a follower of Jesus. So I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to dive into today's podcast. Okay, good morning, Supernatural Childbirth Moms. Valerie and I have been trying to get on, and we were just having issues, so I'm assuming that the enemy doesn't want her to share this awesome testimony. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, welcome, you guys. Thanks for being here on the podcast, and I'm so excited for Valerie to share her story. She's got even more to share than just her supernatural childbirth stories, if she wants to share that. I just feel like this is going to be jam-packed with such good stuff. So, Valerie, I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then I'm going to let you share your story. So this is Valerie Valentino, and she has had two births that she's going to talk about today. So, Lord, I just pray for Valerie right now. We thank you, Lord, for, first of all, for no more hindrances to this podcast in Jesus' name. We thank you that every weapon formed against us will not prosper. And we thank you, Lord, that today she's going to be able to share her story without interruptions, without anything happening with this podcast falling down like it has a couple times. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to anoint her tongue, Lord, that you're going to give her the words to speak, that she'll call to mind and remember every part of the story that that you have for her to share. Holy Spirit, just thank you for being here with us today. And I thank you that she is going to be blessed as she shares, Lord. And thank you for every mom listening, that their hearts would just be ready to receive. And then we just thank you, Lord, for more pain-free supernatural births throughout the world. I know we've got worldwide mamas listening. So bless them today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, Valerie, take it away. Share your story with us.
All right. So I have two babies. One is my son's 1.5, and then my daughter is 3 months old. And one reason I'm really excited to share my story is because I had two home births, but I, like 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, like I was terrified of childbirth. So it's pretty cool that I've come so far, and hopefully I can relate with some other people who are maybe, you know, nervous about it, because I've been there and I got through it. So I live in North Dakota, so it's kind of like in the middle of nowhere, I guess. So when I got pregnant, I was interested in a home birth because I recently met someone who had one. I didn't really know much about it, but she said you should watch this documentary called The Business of Being Born. And I did watch it, and it was eye-opening. And the more I learned about birth, the more I was like, I don't want to interfere with it, because God made our bodies really amazing, and I trust that it's going to work the way it's supposed to work. Like, I'm not broken. So I go to my OBGYN, mostly because I was really just excited. I was so happy to be pregnant. I had cancer a few years ago. I'm almost 5 years cancer free. Amen. So when we decided to have a baby, I didn't know if I could, and we were trying. So when I got pregnant, it was just like amazing. I was so happy. So I'm going to OBGYN, not because I really thought I had to, but I was just excited. So I was there, and I told the nurse, I was like, hey, do you know of any midwives around here? So I was like, I'm really interested in having a home birth. And she said, home births are illegal. And I was like, well, I know that's not true. I was like, I've already looked into it. I just can't find, it's really hard to find a midwife up here. It's like, I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to keep coming to you guys, but if I find a midwife that's the route I'm going to go. So yeah. I told him from the very beginning, that's what I wanted to do. So I'm going to the OB here. And along the way, I was really big on like advocating for myself. So I didn't blindly do anything. So whenever they said, hey, we're going to do this test or we're going to do this, I was like, cool, let me look into it first. I was like, cool, but why? Like, do I need to do this? Like the glucose test, yeah. I turned that down and I just checked my blood sugar at home. I'm also a health coach. So
okay.
I wasn't like, I understand how my body works and stuff. So I was like, I'll just check it at home. If anything's, you know, weird or seems off, then we can look into it more. I like skipped a couple appointments. If I was like, hey, what's the next appointment? And they were like, oh, it's just a checkup, just going to check your blood pressure and stuff. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm good. I just really, you know, trusted that everything was fine. I wasn't like going through it fear-based. So about 7 months, I started getting really nervous about going to the hospital. It was kind of in the middle of COVID and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was asking the doctor questions like, do I have to, like, what's going to happen when I get to the hospital? Like, do I have to wear a mask? And she said, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not going to wear a mask when I'm in labor. Like, I'm looking up all these breathing exercises and things to do in labor. Like, that's going to make it really challenging for me. And it was also important to me to be comfortable. And she was like, well, you know, you have to take a COVID test when you get there. And I was like, I don't want to take a COVID test in the middle of labor. Like, that's not relaxing. This goes against everything that yep. birth is supposed to be. And then I was asking about like equipment there, and she couldn't answer my questions about what they had or didn't have. So all these things leading up, and I was getting more and more nervous. And then at 7 months, I finally found a midwife, and I cried because I was able to have my home birth. So leading up to my home birth, I didn't know anything about like pain-free childbirth, supernatural childbirth. I didn't involve God. I just knew that like natural birth was going to be the healthiest thing for my baby. So I was like, that's what I want to do. So, and the more I learned about it, the less afraid I was, which was good. I was doing breathing exercises and like relaxing and stretching at night and envisioning my birth. But what I wasn't doing was I wasn't praying at all. Like, not that I wasn't praying at all. Like, I was going to church, I was praying, but I wasn't praying about my birth and I wasn't thinking about involving God. I was just trying to do it all myself. It was all about me and what I thought I could do. So, I go into labor, and I had like contractions for a couple days that were, you know, mild. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. Like, I got this. And then my water breaks and it got real, really fast. So all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. Like painful, like pain I was not ready for. And I wasn't involving God or anything. So my labor was only 4 hours with my son. So that sounds really fast, but during it, it was excruciating. And if anyone's listening, keep listening to the end. There's a happy ending. The next birth's way better. But it's cool because I've seen both sides. So this birth, not involving God, trying to do it by myself, excruciating pain. I thought I couldn't do it. I wanted to like run away from my body. Which when you get to that point, it's almost over is what everyone says. And it was almost over, but it was scary. So mm-hmm. then I had my baby, and we got pregnant again, like 4 months later. So now I'm like, I didn't know if I could get pregnant the first time. And now I was like, okay, my body's just showing off now. Like, here we go. So my husband and I were strongman competitors and powerlifters. So after my first baby, I did one strongman competition. After it, I was exhausted, like beat, which is pretty normal, but I could barely keep my eyes open. And then a couple of days later, I took a pregnancy test and I was pregnant again. Like, oh, well, that explains it. At least I got one competition out of the way. So I find out I'm pregnant, and the first thing I think of is the birth, the labor. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't do this again. I don't want to do this again. Like, I have to do this again. Like, I don't want to get an epidural. I don't want to go to a hospital. Like, I want to do a natural birth. But it was so excruciating the first time. I was just scared. So then I heard about supernatural pain-free childbirth, and I was, you know, instantly intrigued. So I started listening to your podcast. I think there was one other podcast I found, any YouTube videos I could find, any books I could listen to on Audible. And I started learning more and more. So this time I did things different. And night and day difference. So this story, this home birth story, my second one, is really cool. I really like it. So I'm learning about, like, yes, your breathing is important, which I had that down pat the first time, but your mindset is even more important. So along every night I would pray to God for exactly what I wanted. I heard other moms that shared their stories say, like, be specific with what you ask. So I'm praying every night during the day, like, envisioning my birth, affirmations, Bible verses, like, everything. And I prayed for a 3-hour labor, so, like, 1 hour shorter than the one before, 3 pushes. I didn't want to go into labor at night. I wanted to be awake, so I wanted, like, during the day. Because to me, so I was praying, this is what I was praying for. So what's another, there's something else I was going to say. Maybe it'll come to me. So that's what I was praying for. And I was also praying for pain-free. I was like, God, pain-free, no tearing. Like, this is what I'm envisioning. So, another thing is, like, my first birth, I had a playlist of music, and it was, like, spa music, and I honestly didn't even really hear it. It was just background noise. And then by the time I was pushing my son out, they put on Slipknot because they were like, this music isn't working for her. Let's do something different. And honestly, it didn't matter because I didn't hear it anyway. But I think it's kind of funny that my son was born to Slipknot. So I am getting further along in my pregnancy. I was, like, a week overdue, and I lay down in bed with my husband, and I, like, feel, it felt like kicks, but they were, like, really consistent. So I looked it up and it said it might be hiccups. And I was like, okay, well, is it hiccups? Is everything okay? So my husband was like, let's go downstairs and, like, do some inversions. And I was like, okay, like, I really just want to go to bed, but I mean, I can't with this going on in my belly. So I go downstairs, I do some inversions, and it stops, and I come back up and we lay in bed, and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to go to sleep. And then I start having contractions. And I was like, oh no. I was like, okay, maybe I can just sleep it off. Like, I've been praying not to go into labor at night. So maybe I can just sleep it off. So I'm laying there, and they're just getting more intense and more intense and more intense. And I was like, ugh. I was like, man, we're doing this. Like, this is happening right now. So I told my husband, I was like, I said, something's happening. And I remember the left side of my body started to tingle. And I had, like, really intense instincts come over my body to where, like, I just knew it was happening. It was just a really crazy, really cool feeling, like how in touch I was. So this was at 12:30 at night. So, like, the exact opposite of what I wanted. However, I also prayed for a pain-free childbirth. Yeah. And I think it's a cool testimony to, like, how God's plan is better than our plan.
Yeah.
Because since I went into labor in the middle of the night and I was so exhausted, I was sleeping through my contractions. Well, not through them, like, in between them.
Right.
So I was super relaxed. And the more relaxed I was, it took away my pain, which was great. So what I did, this whole labor was very peaceful. Through my contractions, I was praying. to God. I was talking to my baby. I was saying, God, thank you so much for this. I know you're here with me. I was talking to my baby. Her name's Freya. And I was like, all right, Freya, I'm ready for you. We can do this. It's going to be okay. God's with us. So I was like, and I had worship music on, which is different than last time. I was praying through it. I was talking to my baby. And the other thing I did different is when I had a contraction, my first birth, I would tense up. And I would squeeze things and I would let negative thoughts come into my mind and all of these things I shouldn't do, where this time I basically, with each contraction, I just like went limp. Mm. Like I didn't tense my body up at all. I had a birth pool. So I relaxed in the pool. My husband is an awesome birth partner. He was basically my doula. We joked around. I called him my doulo because he's a man. So, but he would get shea butter and like massage my arms and my shoulders and my hands as I was going through a contraction. Mm-hmm. And it was the most amazing thing
that he
could have ever done for me. Yeah. It like, cause I would relax and like go limp, but all the tension would build up in my muscles and he would like massage it out. It was great. At one point I'm in the birth pool. I look up, he's on the bed and he looks at me and he says, hey, we don't have to have the baby tonight. Like, it's okay if we don't. And I said, no, we're having the baby tonight. And he said that because I was so calm versus the first time. He didn't know how far along I was in labor.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Because it was that much of a night and day difference. And with my daughter, not once did I think, I can't do this. Not once did I think about running away. Not once did I doubt what God was doing.
Yes.
And that he was there with me. Like it was just peaceful. It wasn't painful. And I feel like when I tell people that, they honestly look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, no, childbirth is painful. What are you talking about? And I'm like, I know why you think that, because I had a birth like that. Like I had an excruciating, like it was the most pain I've ever felt in my life. And then I did the same exact thing with God and it wasn't. But it was just so, so amazing. And like when I was praying along the way, I heard in some podcasts, I heard women say like, you're worthy of this. Like, don't think you don't deserve this from God. Like, don't think like, oh, I'm not special. So when I was praying, I was like, God, I know like this is what you want for me. You don't want me to be fearful. You want me to trust and love you. And it was amazing. But one thing I did wrong. So with my first birth, the painful one, when I got to the pushing part, that was the easiest part. The contractions were awful. When I got to the pushing part, I was like, let's go, let's get this baby out. So honestly, the pushing him out was the easy part. So now I'm at my second birth. It's been smooth sailing. Like my contractions, like everything was beautiful and great. And it was about 4 hours as well, but it went by so much faster. 4 hours of active labor. Like I started having contractions at 12:30, water broke at 3, and then I had her at like 7. So about 4 hours of active labor again. But where was I got sidetracked. Sorry. Where was I going with that? What was I saying? Okay. Yeah. The pushing. So,
okay. Yes. I'm like, pushing.
The first time the pushing was the easy part. So I'm going through this labor. Everything's great. Not in pain. And I get to the pushing part and I was like, let's go. Like, this is the easy part. So I didn't verbatim think, oh, I don't need you, God. But basically I was like, okay, I got this. I stopped praying. I basically took control of the situation. I was like, let's push her out. Like, I got this part. Like, I don't need any of those tips and tricks and prayer I was doing along the way, because this is the part I know. And that was the most painful part. So the pushing the second time got painful because I stopped talking to God.
Yeah.
Stopped relaxing. I stopped involving him. I kind of like took the reins myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was painful. So I look back and I'm like, there was one painful part. And that's, it was my
it
fault.
Makes sense.
So,
Yep.
yeah. I'm
I can
like,
relate to that.
yeah. So, but it was just so amazing. Now, if we have another baby, I'm not afraid. Like I would honestly look forward to the birth because it's one of the coolest things you can do. It's like one of the strongest things I've ever done. It's a really close experience with God. And I would, I guess, not mess up this next time. Like now I would remember like, okay, be with God the whole time. Don't ever think, oh, I can do this without you. Cause I thought I could do the pushing without him and I got through it, but it was painful. And I think the pain was so like shocking at the pushing part because I hadn't felt pain throughout the whole thing. So when I basically pushed God away at the end and tried to do it myself, the pain was intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? I haven't had this the whole time versus the first time. It was so painful the whole time. Then when I got to the pushing part, it was like a relief. But yeah, when I tell people it wasn't, every time I mentioned to someone I had a home birth, they, you know, look at me like I'm crazy. And I get that because I used to be terrified of childbirth. And that was when I didn't know anything about it. And I think the things we don't understand are scary.
True. Yeah, true.
So the more I learned about it and the more I just researched how the body works, I realized like everything about a hospital birth like goes against that. Like the bright lights, the people you don't know, the interventions they're pushing on you constantly, and the fear-based instead of ever trusting God. And that was a situation I knew that would make it extremely hard for me to relax. And from having one birth where I was relaxed and one birth where I wasn't, I can tell you relaxing is very important. So I was so happy I was able to do a home birth. Another thing I'd like to add.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of live in the middle of nowhere, not in a big town. The other closest town is like 2 hours away. The closest mall is 2 hours away. So, I got kicked out. I got banned from the OBGYN clinic I was going to.
Oh, because you were originally missing appointments?
I think they just don't like home births. But so along the way, I told them, you know, I wanna have a home birth. If I can find a midwife, like that's where I'm gonna go. I just don't have one yet. And yeah, like I said, I advocated for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't do all the tests they wanted to do. Some of them, like the glucose test, I monitored my glucose levels myself at home, which is honestly a more accurate way. But I think the glucose drink test is like a good, more of a general way for them to test everyone because not everyone's going to test their blood sugar twice a day for a week at home, you know, and they can't control what we do when we're not in the office. So, but I was willing to do that. So, at about 7 months, I was like, hey, I'm going to switch care. I found a midwife. I'm going to do the home birth. Like, thank you guys for everything, but I'm out of here. So, four or 5 months later, like a month after I had my son, I got a letter in the mail and it said, you're banned from Great Plains.
Oh, wow.
They're like, you can never come back here.
Wow.
And they said something about like not complying with their standard of care or something. So I was like, I don't understand. Like my doctor along the way supported all my decisions. Like whatever she said it was fine. They never said, hey, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, you can monitor your own glucose. Just tell us the numbers. Hey, you don't have to go to all these ultrasounds, but just know these are like the risks that could be involved with that. So they were fine along the way. So I call them and no one's getting back to me. Mm. And it's for like a month. I keep calling them. I'm like, I just want to understand why. I was like, I don't need to ever come back. Like, I have a midwife that can care for me, you know, all my future care. But like, I'm hoping you didn't kick me out for advocating for myself, because I think every woman should be able to do that. So I end up stopping by there, talking to a couple ladies. Anyway, eventually the doctor that owns the place who made the decision calls me. And I was like, hey, I just don't understand why I got this letter. It says I'm kicked out, but like, I don't know what I did. And she was like, well, you didn't do a lot of the things that we, you know, recommend you do. And I was like, but my doctor said it was okay. And my doctor at the time, so they were pushing the COVID vaccines for all the like medical providers.
Mm-hmm.
So my doctor that I had there was the only doctor that didn't get the vaccine and lost her job for it.
Oh.
So I feel like my doctor was like the black sheep doctor. So I was like the black sheep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, and I remember verbatim, I was on the phone with this doctor, and she said, well, she doesn't work here anymore, so that argument is mute.
Wow.
I remember that's exactly what she said. And I was like, but it's not mute, because she was working there when this happened. Like, I didn't purposely break any rules. She said, do you want to do the glucose test? I said, what if I do this instead? She said, that's fine. You know, like, every decision I made was like supported. So, yeah. And then she said, well, also you had a home birth and that's really risky. And I said that my blood just started to like boil at that point. I'm like, all right, stay calm. I was like, but, you're one of your doctors told me that you'll still see women if they do drugs or if they drink alcohol
mm-hmm.
during their pregnancy. And I was like, isn't that risky? Because I was like, I am a very healthy person and I made my own decisions, not blindly. Like, I looked into everything I did. So I was like, I don't, and I switched care. So I was like, I wasn't even here. Like, I don't understand how, I was so confused. And she was just like, well, that's how it is. You're never allowed back. And that was it. And I said, okay, well, I was like, I wasn't planning on coming back anyway. Like, you banned me and sent me this letter when I had already not been here for 5 months and was never coming back.
Yeah.
And we left on good terms, I thought. So I was like, I don't know why this was necessary, but I was like, I am going to share this with the community. So I made a face. I told her I was going to do it. I was like, I'm going to make a Facebook post so other women know about my experience. So I shared it on Facebook. A lot of other women had negative experiences there as well. And then it was shared all over town and Facebook, and a lot of other women got to like see what was going on there and make their decision about what doctor they want to see there, or like if they wanted to go there. And I thought that was good, but it just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it does. Yeah.
Like, I'm laughing because I had that happen at a pediatrician's office with my first child.
Really?
I think it's so good, actually, for anyone listening. You know, maybe they don't agree with you and I and our viewpoint on things, but a lot of women, I feel like, do, who are in this space. You know, they desire to not let someone else try to control their birth outcome and their story and tell them, you know. So yeah, I'm so sad when that happens, and I'm grateful for people like you who. You know, back in the day when my son was a baby, I was too shocked, and like that wasn't my personality to say anything or do anything. But now, the person I am after all I've been through, I think I would share with other people too, and you know, write a review or share with other people, because yeah, it's not healthy, number one. And yeah, I just thank you for sharing that. So
yeah,
I agree with you. And there's been, you know, the thing I think, since you were talking about it, if you don't mind, just real quick for anyone listening, I think it's good for moms, number one, like you said, to understand how the body works. My favorite part of Jackie Mize's book was her explaining your muscles tensing, like you're a power lifter. So, you know, mm-hmm. So for moms who are listening, they don't know what a contraction is in the book by Jackie Mai's Supernatural Childbirth, she explains that a contraction is literally your muscle is tensing, like when you exercise, to the point where you get, that normally in exercise you get tired because you can only hold your muscle for so long. It's the same concept in childbirth. Your stomach muscles are contracting to push the baby down and out, and our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's, the Lord knew how to cause our muscles. It's involuntary. It's like you're involuntarily exercising.
Yes.
Your body is pushing the baby down and out. And the coolest part is that the baby knows what to do. If you ever saw a video recently where the baby knows how to, I don't know if it's the, I want to know more about it, honestly, but I think that the combination of the mom's muscles contracting, the uterus contracting, the baby spins and goes down into the birth canal. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's this incredible thing that the Lord created. So you're right.
Right.
Knowing, when you know that, your birth becomes cooperation versus freaking out or trying to control it, or it's just realizing my body was actually made to do this. And the other thing moms forgot about is that, oh, my, you know, my vaginal wall, my cervix is too small for a baby to come out of it. And it's like, actually, no, if you look at a pelvis, have you ever been to a chiropractor's office or, you know, somewhere where they had a skeleton or your science class in high school? Mm-hmm. If you look at a pelvis, like a woman's pelvis, the skeleton, it's open. I mean, it could fit through there. The bones were created for the baby to fit through there.
Yes.
Plus, relaxin, I think that's what it calls, comes into play. Yeah. My husband's a chiropractor. All your bones start to get real loose. And that's why women get pelvic stuff when at the end of their pregnancy, your bones get loose. Your muscles, actually, that's part of the process. So why is a midwife or an OB checking you, quote unquote? They're checking because your cervix gets soft and open. And so really, the baby was actually made to fit through there. And I think, I'm like, some woman out there needed to hear this today, because I think we feel like our body wasn't made to do that or something. And actually, no, God is so intelligent. Of course, he made your body to do that.
Yes.
So thank you for saying that. I think knowing how it works, your body. And then the other part was the cascade of
interventions.
Yes. And it's such a lie. It's such a lie. And it's so sad because these women say, if I hadn't have been in, here's the thing. There are rare cases where you need life-saving help. I will not say that that's not true. That is true. Right. And I've experienced in other parts of my life situations where we were in the situations with, like, you know, other things. And you needed that help. But in most cases, number one, your body was made for it. And then that cascade of interventions. Talk about that real quick. Like, what did you learn about that? Because I think it's so important for women to actually learn about that.
I think the first thing to touch on is, like, there's actually a domino effect or cascade of your body doing what it's supposed to do. So everything is like a chain reaction when you go into labor. And when you interfere with one part of it, you interfere with that domino effect. So, like, let's say, like, if you get an epidural, like, your body's not going to be releasing the oxytocin, and it's not going to give you, you're not going to have as many contractions, and it's going to make, it could stall labor and make labor harder to progress. And then you can end, you're at a higher risk for a C-section. So you might end up having a C-section and saying, thank God I was at the hospital because, you know, I needed this. I wasn't progressing. But if you did it on your own, maybe you would have progressed if you didn't interfere with God's amazing, like, amazing system. Like, the way your body works when you go into labor is so incredible. It and is. Such a domino effect. And when you understand how that works, suddenly you don't want to interfere with it anymore, because you realize, oh, if I take out a few of these dominoes, things might not go the way I want it to go. Or I do these interventions when they're not actually needed. Like, when I was talking to the doctor about my first birth, because I was at the OBGYN and I'm asking questions,
because I ask a million questions. They didn't seem to like. And I was like, hey, so I don't want to be hooked up to an IV. I was like, I really want to move freely around the room. Is that okay? Like, I just want to drink water. Crazy concept, but I just want to I can just drink it. And they were like, well, I don't know if we can do that. And I was like, man, it sounds like my labor is going to be me arguing with nurses the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to go. This is not going to go well. Another thing they said is, so they have a tub there. And I was like, oh, like, I'm really interested in like a water birth. Like, they seem really beautiful, like a good transition for the baby. And she said, well, we have tubs there and you can labor in the tub, but you can't deliver in the tub. Because it's not safe. And I was like, well, unfortunately, I've done a lot of research on water births and they are safe. So now I, like, all of a sudden I'm like, well, now I don't really trust your what you're saying, because I know what you just said isn't true. And I was like, okay, well, what happens when I start delivering a baby in the tub? Like, is someone gonna lift me out of the tub? Am I going to be in a swinging match mid-delivery? Like, what is going to happen? And then I was like, this just does not sound good. Like, what if I want to deliver in the tub? Like, it was just so – I was getting so much anxiety about delivery at the hospital the more I, like, talked about it. And then once I – home births are so cool. Mm-hmm. And I lived close to the hospital. My midwife was a certified nurse midwife. So, you know, she can write prescriptions. She can bring medical supplies, emergency supplies to my home. I think a lot of people don't know that. They think you're just having birth at home and you have no backup plan and like no protection. And like, they always think like, what if, what if, what if? But that what if mindset is fear.
Yeah.
It's doing everything off of fear. And God said, says not to be afraid and to trust him. Which kind of goes against what society tells us about birth. You know, every movie, every TV show, like the woman's screaming and birth is excruciating and it's scary. And that's what we're pushed to believe that it's supposed to be. And another thing I did different with my second baby is I, what's this lady's name? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, Ayla Cuenca. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
She is a holistic doula.
Okay.
I hope I got her title right. But she, I follow her and like get a lot of information from her. And she, I asked her, I was like, hey, what do you think about ultrasounds? And she, because I heard her in a podcast say that they like can damage the baby's cells.
Mm.
And I was like, hey, can you share some information with me on that? Because, you know, I'm all about learning, asking questions. And she said, sure. Yeah. She's like, buy this book. And it's called 50 Human Studies.
Mm.
So I ordered it off Amazon. And basically, so I am very pro-life. So I'm very... Yes. Anti-abortion, but this book, it was done in China, these studies, and they found women who were already going to have abortions, did ultrasounds on them, and then like studied the unborn baby after to see how it affected them.
Wow.
So they're doing all these studies, and you can see about like the exposure time with the ultrasound machines and how like the baby's cells were damaged, or one of them, like they were doing ultrasound over the baby's, like a baby boy's testicles. And then after the abortion, it was like swollen and there was a lot of cell deaths in that area, and real stuff you don't hear here. Cause even my midwife believes and said, you know, she came up through the Western medical system and she says, like, ultrasounds are fine.
Yeah.
And, but I learned more about the frequencies and the regulations and everything. And for this birth, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do any.
Yeah.
Blew people's mind as well. I was like, no ultrasounds. Which my first birth, since I had cancer 5 years ago now, they wanted me to have a ton of ultrasounds. So I saw my son so many times and I loved the ultrasounds. I love seeing my baby. Like, I would cry when I saw him. It was amazing. And then this time, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do any.
Yeah.
So my midwife was like, okay, well, what if you can just, do you just want to do the 5-month one, like the anatomy scan where we see, you know, make sure everything's going the way it's supposed to go. And I was like, if I did that one, it would be selfish. It would be for me. Because I want to see my baby. It wouldn't be because I'm fearful or scared that anything's wrong. I was like, I know my baby is perfect. I know God has a perfect baby in me, and everything's developing exactly how it's supposed to. I was like, God doesn't make mistakes. I know, like, I trust this. I trust God. I trust my baby. I trust my body. So I actually didn't do any ultrasounds with
That's awesome. I love it. That's awesome. Well, and you know, moms, if you're listening, just, I feel like it's important to say in all areas of life, you know, do follow the Holy Spirit. And, you know, one of my favorite preachers, Mike Bickle at the International House of Prayer, he always encourages people. In the Bible, it talks about there's a group of people called the Bereans, and they would always go and study the word and make sure it matched up with what someone was preaching. And like,
yeah,
do that yourself too. You know, anything you learn, anything you hear, number one, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, go, you know, research, equip yourself.
Right.
And so it can literally change the trajectory of your birth. You know, me, before I knew anything about supernatural birth, I also watched that documentary called The Business of Being Born. And that's what caused me to choose a natural birth with my first son. I didn't know anything about supernatural childbirth. So that was a 36-hour labor, like actually in labor for 36
hours. Wow.
But I did it naturally. I didn't have any interventions. Not to say, oh, wow, but just, you know, learn those things, look into those things. And there are good resources out there. You need to chew the meat and spit out the bones, I guess is what they say. You know, there's, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lady named Ina Mae Gaskin. She wrote a book about birth, and she's not a believer. She's in that documentary. She's actually really, she's into like some crazy stuff. Like, anyway, I won't go into it, but they're not believers and they do some funny things. But if you don't know anything about like the physical side of birth, those are some good resources. But more mm-hmm. than anything, I would just say, you know, the number one priority is to be without fear more than anything.
Right.
Like if you don't want to take the time to study birth, like you said, be without fear. And the only way to be without fear is to know that God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. And if God is in you, he gave you authority. The word says that he gave us all authority on the earth. He literally wants us to be his hands, his feet, his mouth. And so we actually have to take the authority. When we pray, you don't say, God, take away this fear. You say, fear go in Jesus' name. Because God is love and God is in me. So I tell you to go. I take authority over you and I tell you to go. Jesus gave us all authority is what the word says. So he actually surrendered that authority to us on the earth. So when we pray, you take authority, moms. And that's the biggest thing is to be without fear, because fear does cause pain. And even in the world, they know that. So Ina Mae Gaskin, all the different, you know, scientific studies of birth, childbirth, fear actually causes pain. So the hypnobirthing crowd, you know, those who are into all those things and they don't know the Lord, they actually know that fear causes pain. So the goal is to relax, but we know that we can come under the peace that surpasses all understanding. So hopefully, mamas, you're getting some revelation today. And I think this was just so good. Is there anything else you want to share, Valerie?
I would like, I guess, just to touch on again, like the biggest things that helped me
erase
pain, because when I was listening to these podcasts, I was like a sponge trying to absorb everything. And I remember hearing you say, God is love and perfect love casts out fear. And that helped me so much, like helped me really believe, so relaxing. Like, literally, I let my body go limp. Yeah. And that's why my husband was like, you don't have to have the baby tonight. Like, it's okay. And I was like, what do you think is happening? So relax, talk to God through it, talk to your baby through it. Listening to worship music helped. Don't ever get to the point where you think, oh, I got this, I don't need God, because you'll realize you do real yeah. quick. Like I said, I got to the pushing part. I took the reins and I was like, oh, wait. Why am I in pain? And I'm like, oh, because I just said, okay, God, don't need you anymore, when I did need him. So not that I did it on purpose, you know, I just subconsciously was like, okay, I'm good. And pray about it, pray for exactly what you want. Remember, God's plan is better than your plan. So even though I went into labor in the middle of the night, which was one of the things I did not want, God knew I needed that. God knew I was tired. I would rest in between contractions, which took away so much pain. And also, I like to say, just like you said, do your research. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of women who are afraid of birth, which was me before I was pregnant the first time. Like, it was because I didn't understand it. Yeah. I thought, like, I was just going to leave it to the OBGYN. I was going to leave it to the doctor to tell me what to do and when to do it and what was best for me. Instead of learning about it myself, advocating for myself, praying to God about it, understanding what God created, like understanding my body, like God's the one who created your body. God's the one who created childbirth and the whole entire perfect system we have. So I wanted to trust God, because the doctors didn't create our bodies, you know? Yeah. And I also shifted my mindset of realizing that, like, birth isn't an emergency situation. Mm. Like, birth isn't something that, you know, you have to go to the hospital for. Like, most women don't need a hospital. Like, a hospital is for emergency situations where they're going to help save your baby. But if everything goes fine, you don't automatically need to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So just realizing, like, birth doesn't mean you're broken or you're sick or you Good. Need emergency care. There are situations where you do, but it's not an automatic thing where it's like, pregnant, have to go to the hospital.
Yeah, right.
So, but I have heard of lots of women who do have a natural birth at a hospital. A lot of them say it was harder for them to feel relaxed there. And oftentimes I hear women say they wish they didn't. They wish they just did it in the comfort of their own home. And they say that after the fact, when they're like, oh, everything went perfect, I could have just done it at home.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to, you know that going in. So if you are going to have a natural birth, or you want to have a natural pain-free childbirth, like at a hospital, I would say have your husband or your partner or your doula there to advocate for you, so that you can relax the most. You know, stay true to yourself and don't let anyone bully you into any decisions. You know, make your own decisions and stand by them. If you want something or don't want something, make sure you know, like, that's your decision to make it, and involve God, because he is incredibly powerful. The night and day difference between my births. I've seen both. I've had a excruciating birth and I had a pain-free, beautiful birth that I would do again with no fear, you know? So awesome. Night and day difference. I'm definitely a testimony that it works.
That's awesome. So. Thank you. So good. Yeah. So, Valerie, do you mind? So how can the moms get in touch with you if they want to chat more with you?
So my Instagram is powerlifting_princess13. Or if you look at Valerie Valentino, it should pop up also. So
awesome. I know some moms just really connect with someone's story and want to chat and connect. So thank you for that. And then do you mind praying for the moms today?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Dear God, I pray that this podcast reaches the women that it needs to reach, and that I can share my story and connect with people. I pray that you're working through me to help other people. I thank you for for this podcast and all the women that it's reached. It reached me and it helped me and changed my life. So I hope that it can change other people's life. And if any women are going through their pregnancies right now and they're praying for a pain-free childbirth, I pray that you're with them. You take away their fear and you allow them to trust you so they can have the beautiful birth experience that you want for them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amen. Valerie. Sorry to interrupt you.
Great.
last thing I just felt like I wanted to say to you, moms, the Lord has really been teaching me and my husband recently about his grace and just how, I mean, I've heard people say this my whole life. He's just so good. We don't realize how good he is. And like, because of our specific situation, which maybe I'll share on a separate podcast and the story we've been walking out in our own lives, I'm just realizing even in our sin, if you're actually a Christian and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, Jesus actually loves you right there, like in the middle of the stuff that you're doing. And his goodness and his grace is in instant. It's immediate. It's when he said it is finished, it is actually finished. You can't add to what he offers you by doing anything. I know it's like, you got to get it by revelation. So I pray by the Holy Spirit that you would get it. So I just want to say, moms, if you're wanting that supernatural childbirth, if you're wanting to have a baby, if you're wanting to, you know, any of these things you're believing for, I just want to encourage you to get in the presence of God, get in the presence of Jesus. And sometimes that's hard if you have other kids or if you have distractions, but even if it's a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes in your car, it doesn't matter. Get in the presence of God and get his word in you. That's all you have to do. I always used to say, like, I'm going to try to figure out the formula for this, but it's like, no, really, like, actually, he's just so good. And he just wants to meet you and love on you and show you how good he is. And so if anything else, you know, let everything else fall away, like, just get in the presence of God, call out to Jesus, get in the word of God, and don't feel like you have to figure it all out. Because I think there's moms out there like me that feel like, I just need to figure this out, you know?
Yeah.
Just dive into him. So anyway, thank you so much, Valerie. This was so great. And moms, don't forget to check out our Facebook group, join in and be part of that Supernatural Childbirth Mamas on Facebook. We have a lot of good new things we hope to be adding in, like small groups, and we just want to build more and more community. The kind of moms that are attracted to this are the kind of moms that we all want to be friends with. So more and more community is what we want. So Valerie, thank you. This was so good.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for hopping on at 7:30 in the morning. I know you have your thing coming up, so that is good. So
yes.
All right, moms, we love you. Thank you, Valerie.
Bye.
Okay, bye.